puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Jenilee.
So what are we discussing this week?
Longtime listeners know about my fascination with Port Nelson and York Factory in northern Manitoba. I've visited these historic sites twice before, and my plan was to visit them again last week. Well, it didn't quite work out as I expected.
So you didn't get there?
Technically, I did get to Port Nelson and York Factory, but not in quite the way that I had planned. So for those who may not know about Port Nelson, maybe I'll just say a little bit. It was intended to be a seaport where prairie grain would be loaded onto ocean-going ships. A railway right-of-way was constructed to the mouth of the Nelson River, where an artificial island was built, 1/2 mile offshore, with a steel truss bridge connecting the island to the mainland. The construction was done between 1912 and 1917, and over 700 workers were involved. The construction camp comprised several buildings, including a 2-story administration building, a water tower, and a railway to move supplies around the site. Completion was halted by the First World War, but work was supposed to resume in the late 1920s. Instead, the seaport was moved to Churchill, and Port Nelson was abandoned.
It sounds like there is a lot of abandonment to see at Port Nelson.
Absolutely. The artificial island is still there, although it is eroding away. There's also a large metal dredge that's draped over one of the island's seawalls. The railway bridge is still there, and I'm told most of the construction camp on the mainland is there too. But I've never seen it, because my 2 preceding visits were to the artificial island. My objective this year was to get to the mainland, and I had taken the necessary precautions, too.
What precautions did you need to take?
Well, this year, the ice on Hudson Bay broke up several weeks earlier than usual, and that meant that polar bears were much more likely to be present at Port Nelson. The mainland site especially is heavily overgrown with small trees, providing lots of places for bears to hide. And if we had gone there, we would have taken 3 people equipped with guns, and well, we would have stayed in a group too for safety. Unfortunately, we arrived at Port Nelson at high tide. So much of the artificial island and the dredge, well, they were literally underwater.
Was it not possible to arrive at Port Nelson at low tide?
Well, that's what we did each of the 2 preceding times that I visited, but it wasn't possible this year because water levels in the Nelson River were unusually low. Large rocks were revealed that would have been dangerous to the boat we used to reach Port Nelson. The best we could do was to make a short stop there during high tide so we could take a quick look. You know, I was able to see, for example, that the seawall continues to break down, the railway bridge continues to deteriorate, but there was just no possibility of getting out on land. You know, my conclusion is that the only surefire way that I will ever be able to get to the mainland to see that construction camp will be to charter a helicopter for several hours. But before that can happen, well, let's just say I think I have to win a lottery.
Were you able to get to York Factory?
Well, a result of canceling the stop at Port Nelson was that we now had more time to spend at York Factory. So, yes, I did get there. And when I was there last year, we only had a couple of hours to look around this amazing historic site. This year, we arrived at 6 in the morning one day and left at 4:30 in the morning the following day. In other words, nearly an entire day in total. In my view, York Factory is the most significant site in the fur trade history of Canada. So having more time to see it, oh, a really big plus.
In what way is York Factory historically significant?
Well, it was the transshipment point where employees of the Hudson's Bay Company traded merchandise for furs. Then they shipped those furs back to England. When York Factory was established in 1684 at the mouth of the Hayes River, Indigenous traders were expected to come there to trade. In time, competition from fur traders from Quebec and the United States led the Hudson's Bay Company to establish fur trade posts closer to their Indigenous customers, which led to the establishment of such places as Brandon House and the Red River Settlement here in Winnipeg. York Factory closed in 1957, and it was turned over by the Hudson's Bay Company to the federal government in 1968.
What is at York Factory today?
Oh, quite a lot of stuff. There's a cemetery where fur traders and Indigenous people who lived and died at York Factory were buried. Some of the graves, in fact, go back to the early 1800s. There are remains of a stone building where gunpowder was stored. There are miscellaneous machines around the grounds, such as a pair of iron winches used to haul trade goods up and down the bank of the Hayes River. The remains of a wooden boat that was partially buried in the riverbank was visible, along with its iron anchor. The highlight of the visit, though, for me anyway, was a lengthy tour of what I think is Manitoba's oldest log building, the massive two-story depot where furs and trade goods were stored. It was constructed between 1831 and 1838 and is maintained in good order by Parks Canada. But the depot is at risk of eventual destruction.
Oh, how come?
Well, the riverbank of the Hayes River is eroding rapidly. A comparison of the site today with photos taken in the 1920s indicated that over 160 feet of land between the depot and the river have been lost in the past century. If erosion continues at its present rate, Parks Canada estimates the depot will topple into the Hayes River within the next 100 years. Geotechnical engineers who examined the site in 2005 estimated that stabilizing the riverbank could cost up to $6 million. So far, no action has been taken since their visit, but there is a positive side to the riverbank erosion.
Really? What is that?
Well, as the riverbank slumps into the Hayes River, historical artifacts that were long buried in its soil are exposed. During our visit, we walked along the shoreline at the base of the riverbank at low tide. We found such items as the firing mechanisms from a pair of old muskets, numerous grape-shot cannonballs, a large knife used for peeling logs, a beverage bottle, and more. They were left at the depot so archaeologists from Parks Canada can keep track of the discoveries that are being revealed.
It sounds like it was a great trip, Gordon.
Well, our return from York Factory was not entirely uneventful, too, so that kind of added to the drama. It rained for much of the time that we spent there, and the winds reached 70 kilometers an hour as we were preparing to leave. By the time our boat reached Hudson Bay to travel around Marsh Point to the Nelson River, there were waves over 10 feet high. Now, thanks to the skill and experience of our boat pilot, Clint Sawchuk, we all came through the wild water safe and sound. But there were some worrying moments when I looked out the windows of the boat and saw us perched precariously at the top of a huge wave with a 15-foot drop to the trough beside us. Of my three visits to York Factory, this one was easily the most tumultuous. But there were other less dangerous highlights of the trip, including visits to Pisou Falls, Little Limestone Lake, and the Sturgeon Hatchery at Grand Rapids. And a culinary highlight was that I was finally able to sample Thompson-style pizza as we passed through Thompson, which, by the way, was excellent.
And what's up for next week, Gordon?
For the last 4 years, the Manitoba Historical Society has released a list of 10 endangered historic structures around the province. The list for 2023 will be released tomorrow, and I'll discuss places on it next Sunday morning.
Looking forward to hearing about that. Thanks so much, Gordon.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.